Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
You're just straight face during that snapshot. Nothing but disappointment on your face.
Oh,
I was about to say Dalvin Cook had shoulder surgery.
He's ready to go.
I know. That's wrong information. I meant to say he injured his shoulder. It just came out. It just took over.
I tell you one thing. If I ever need shoulder surgery, I'm going to wherever he went to.
Yeah, just one day. A week later, he's good. He's good to go. All right. Well, we're not talking about the Vikings and the Saints playing in London. Instead, we're still talking about the Mariners for good reason, because the Mariners have a chance to clinch a playoff spot tonight. We are broadcasting live from T-Mobile Park. It's the calm before the storm. It looks beautiful outside. Sun is out, a few clouds, but it's still a beautiful, beautiful September day here with a chance for playoff baseball in Seattle for the first time in 21 years. Now, wild card seating still up for grabs. No one has necessarily clinched the number 4 overall spot, 5 or 6. But as far as just punching their ticket, Toronto's in, Seattle with a chance to get in today. So wins still matter, right, in terms of that playoff seating. But, man, all you need is an Orioles loss or a win today. And what we're going to be seeing is just, I think I'm going to see a crowd full of 45,000 people crying.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I'm looking at Mike Lefko on the field right now. Is that Lefko?
I don't know.
Looks like it. Posture does. But it's all about the fans today. We're going to see high fives. This is the moments where you become best friends with someone you do not know, a complete stranger. You're in this moment with somebody. You know what I mean? You've experienced a struggle, 21 years of waiting for this. And I also want to point out, I love when we do shows from here because I get to see them cut the grass. I'm in straight dad mode. I'm like, oh, those lines are straight on the grass right there.
It's looking clean.
Getting the dirt nice and smooth. It's just, it feels like it's going to be a big night. It's going to be a big night. And I hope they do it in dramatic fashion, man. I hope the Oilers win. I hope these guys come out and dominate. JK hits a bomb. Suarez hits a bomb. We see some stolen bases. I just want it to be a complete night. But either way, I shall take a win.
I think one of my favorite things about what we're seeing today, and the playoff odds stand at 99.9%. The Mariners, in all likelihood, whether, you know, if the Orioles win tonight and the Mariners lose, all right, then they clinch tomorrow. You know what I mean? That magic number being at 1 is huge. It's huge. I have chills thinking about it. But I think what I also feel in this moment, and I wonder if you, Bump, feel this, or you, Curtis, or any listeners, is a little more, I guess, excitement or anticipation, that rather this being the culmination of something, it's the beginning of something. This is,
I like that,
a team that's been working toward rebuilding. Truly. I mean, truly rebuilding for the first time, certainly under DePoto. He inherited a squad that had hitters, but I would doubt he felt that it could truly be a World Series team. And then here they were building it up from the ground up. And I remember years ago hearing, hey, you know, they've got this guy, Jared Kelnick, they've got this guy, Julio Rodriguez, and they think these two guys can be really great. And now here we are, and we're watching, you know, one of those guys is injured, but essentially both of those guys and this squad push to the postseason. And it's hard for me to fathom and articulate, which is why I'm struggling with it now, what this means to this team, what this means to this city, and what it means that this feels like a beginning.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. It's the culmination, right? You're getting into the playoffs. You're doing something you haven't done in a long time. But hopefully this is the beginning of a new tradition, of a new culture here in Seattle when it comes to baseball. And when you look at the pieces that are in place, you look at the youngsters like JK coming around and balling and Julio, that gives you more reason to believe that this could be the beginning of something. Not to mention Cal Raleigh, a young catcher who's come along, the investments that they've made as far as acquiring players, Luis Castillo, Robbie Ray. It looks different and it feels different. So I'm going to go out and say, yeah, this is a new beginning. We want this to be an expectation, not an appreciation night anymore. After this, it's like, all right, this is what we do. This is what the Mariners is all about. And it's fun to witness it.
Man, I don't mean to keep going back to that one listener text, but I'm going to say it again because it really stuck with me. This is what it's about to me. This is the thing that simultaneously makes me excited and also has made me so angry before. And I don't want to be angry in this moment, and I'm not, but this is why there's so much passion. a listener earlier today when we were talking about how emotional the three of us felt said, I was 23 in 2001. Oh, no, wrong one. I was 17 when the Mariners played their first game. I was 37 when they played their first playoff game. I was 43 when they played their last one. I'm now 64. That's some big gaps that I'm ready to see close up. I just, what I want is for over the course of someone's lifetime to see multiple visits to the postseason. Yeah. I want to see a World Series team in Seattle. I want to see this be a World Series team. The playoffs are amazing. I can't wait. I'm emotional. The feeling in this crowd will be electric tonight, and I can't wait to celebrate that with everyone. But I want this to be the beginning of something, not, hey, we did it. We broke the drought. We ended it. Congratulations. Check it off.
You're such a millennial. One more and more.
Spoiled,
no, I'm just messing with you. No, I feel you. You just want tradition is what you want. You want a winning tradition. And that's something that hasn't been here with this organization ever in a long time. You get little spurts, right? You talk about the lifetime of that texter. They haven't seen just 5-6 years in a row this team contending for the AL. You know what I'm saying? They're making a push into the playoffs. They won a couple rounds. You know what I mean? You just haven't seen that. So you're not wrong for wanting that. But let's soak this in, man. Let's be present in this moment. Let's smell the grass when you walk into the ballpark. Go get yourself a hot dog. Take pictures, man. This is going to be exciting. Let's live in the moment. And once this moment is over, let's start looking towards the future.
Stacy, stop saying, you know what I mean. You've overused it to the point that it's annoying. Man, I don't care. I'm having a lot of trouble articulating my feelings of this day. Not only that, but because I know that it's feelings that are shared by so many other Mariners fans, it's hard for me not to point to other people and say, you understand what I'm talking about in this moment. You get what I'm saying. Help me. Help. What am I trying to say? How are you feeling? In fact, we're taking callers coming up at 1 p.m. Also, like, hey, get in a better mood, 509. Mariners are about to go to the postseason. Stop complaining about the way I talk. Go get a hot dog and watch the game.
Go get a hot dog and chill. Let's be here, man. It feels like I'm anticipating a game of my own, you know, like when you wake up on Saturday mornings as a kid, you get your basketball games, football games, soccer games, whatever it may be. Like, this is the first time I felt like this for the Mariners in a very long time, because I just want it as much as any other fan does that's going to show up or watching at home, man. It's going
to
be fun.
Curtis, how are you feeling? Are you able to... I don't think you're able to get to the game tonight, but I know you're going to be watching with Willa, your daughter,
yes.
And you were 10 the last time this team was playing postseason baseball. I mean, I think a lot of people share that experience.
Yeah, because I was a kid the last time the Mariners made the playoffs, and now I have a kid. It's a weird sort of route that this, you know, drought has sort of spanned it. It is wild to think back, like the last time they were in the playoffs, I was in fifth grade, and you know, now I'm part of the broadcast team. Like, that's a weird sort of position to be in. I never thought that would ever come true. And it's weird because, like, the Mariners have been a part of a lot of, like, life goals and life dreams of mine to, like, kind of being in this spot now. I would love to see the Mariners win a World Series, and that could happen. A night like tonight and nights like what we're going to see going forward are what you dream of as a kid. You dream of your team being able to have a chance in the playoffs. You dream of your team being able to, you know, hoist the trophy at the end of the season. And the Mariners are now in position to do so with a win tonight or a Baltimore loss. Hopefully it's a win tonight. You don't want to see them celebrate by, you know, not winning tonight and Baltimore losing. That wouldn't be as fun. But
yeah,
like, to me, seeing this team where it's at right now, it makes you all the more appreciative of what we're about to watch, because as we've learned over the last 21 years, being in this spot is not guaranteed. It is not a birthright, unfortunately. I wish it was, but it will make tonight all the more special, and I hope we all savor it, because as we've seen over the last two decades, it doesn't happen all every year.
The segment's hard to host. Frankly,
why is
no,
that?
I'm serious. This segment's hard to host. I feel like as a job, I talk a lot to fill in spaces. When you're a lead host, right? You need to buy time, or you need to set up something, or you need to throw to the second chair for the analysis, or whatever you need to do. And there's a lot of analysis that I have to say about this team and a lot of observations about this team and a lot of conversations to have about this team. And I feel like, this doesn't usually happen, but that I'm kind of at a loss for words with part of this. And it's because the emotions of the moment are ones I'm unfamiliar with. I have never experienced the Mariners as a playoff team as an adult or as a teenager. I was just leaving elementary school the last time they were in the postseason, and I did not grow up a big sports fan. So I wasn't a huge Mariners fan when I was little. I didn't play sports when I was little. So this is all new to me, and I know what I should be saying, and I know what the issues with the team, the great things with the team, the matchups they could be facing, and the logic of it all. And here we are, me and Bump, and Curtis is remotely from the studio, and I'm looking out at T-Mobile Park. It's beautiful, and I'm at a loss for words, and it's like the opposite of my job. But I'm just thinking of people I know. I'm thinking of Bump, you watching here with friends or taking your boys here. I'm thinking of Curtis watching with his daughter. I'm thinking of one of my very best friends who is a diehard Mariners fan and will be taking his son here and will probably be crying. I'm thinking of my Uncle Jim, who watched every single Mariners game and died before he could see them get back to the playoffs, right? And I know that that's the experience for a lot of other people. And so I know that I'm stumbling in this moment. I don't know that I've felt the feelings that I've had that I'm having right now. And I don't really know how to articulate them, to be frank.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. I think you are speaking for a lot of people, for the masses, the people listening to this station right now who haven't had the experience of seeing this team in the playoffs as an adult or who haven't had it as an adult in 20-something years. You know what I'm saying? So the best part about this job, I think we are experiencing right now, one of the best things about it is that we get to try to articulate what we're feeling and how other people are feeling. And even if we can't articulate it the way that we want to articulate it, people can understand that because we're all human. We're all Mariners fans and we're all feeling the same thing. So go ahead and do your thing, girl. I'm feeling you. You keep doing what you're doing.
The 850. Look at Stacey talking for 10 minutes about how she has no words. I was trying to find the words. God, all people want to do is complain about me. I don't even care. You can't make me feel bad today. You can't. All right. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one. The Seahawks getting some good fortune with the Lions injury report. Amon-Ra St. Brown and DeAndre Swift will not play on Sunday. What's the real headline?
So that's two more reasons for the Seahawks to win on Sunday.
Come on now. Detroit Lions, $170 on the ground is what they're averaging. Now they're going to lean on Jamal Williams. St. Brown's not going to be there. It's set up for you to handle this offense. One of the most explosive offenses in the NFL, throwing up 31 points a game, over 400 yards. Slow them down. Go shot for shot, blow for blow. Let's get it.
I mentioned this, but the Detroit Lions and Seattle Seahawks are a very interesting, not quite mirror images of each other, but if you're trying to think of how to prep for this game or what to anticipate from this game, a lot of the Lions' weaknesses are also Seattle's weaknesses. So the Detroit Lions offense is going to look to get out there and score a ton of points and run the ball a lot, right? They might be able to do so effectively against the Seahawks defense. Seahawks have 3 weeks of tape to crush trying to correct some of the issues they've had against the run. Meanwhile, though, that Lions defense giving up a touchdown in the red zone 90% of the time. 11 drives into the red zone by opposing offenses. Lions have given up a touchdown on 10 of those. There are opportunities here. And for the first time this year, the Lions are going to be without some of those offensive weapons. They're explosive. 31 points a game is no joke. But can they do it without these two? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number two, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa stretchered off last night after suffering a second concussion in a four-day span. What's the real headline?
Tua's injury reminds us all what a dangerous sport this can be and what teams are willing to do to win.
Yeah, man, I'm going back and forth with this texter, and he's saying he passed concussion protocol.
Never do it, Bump.
Game, set, and match. I go, bro, I've passed concussion protocol, and I've clearly been concussed. It's not about you. It's about our warrior. Like, come on, son. It's your brain. It is the strongest thing you have in your body is your brain. The thing that allows you to function, to move, to communicate, to do anything you want to do. It starts and ends with your brain. That is a young man. Someone has to protect players from themselves sometimes because they do want to get out there. They do want to be there for their team. And I commend every football player for wanting to do that. But in cases like this, someone has to step in and say, look, man, you're young. You got a long life to live. You have a family. I believe he's married. I don't know if he has any kids. But it's life is deeper than just football. It's deeper.
Well, and that's why this is controversial. It's not because Tua got a concussion. It's not because players don't play injured sometimes. We've seen guys go out there not just feeling sick, having the flu or whatever. I remember interviewing Doug Baldwin one time when he was sick. This was pre-COVID. But interviewing Doug Baldwin one time, he's under the weather. He's feeling awful. Doesn't matter. You got to get back out there. Oh, you have food poisoning? Too bad.
Yep.
You're getting over having the flu and you still feel weak? Too bad. Get out there. I mean, players play through a lot, but concussions are not a sprain. Concussions are not the flu. Concussions are not a bad cut or whatever. Concussions
right.
are things that if already can impact your life, but if worsened, can lead to serious life affecting injuries. I mean, like a second impact syndrome is like you could die. So this isn't about being tough. It's about being smart. It's about being careful. And it's about valuing what these athletes bring to the game. Without them, you don't have anything. So take care of them.
Take care.
Headline Rewrite.
Headline number 3 in college football. The Huskies, number 15, UW, finally leave the confines of Husky Stadium.
Curtis.
For the first time this year, way to test yourself and play a road game.
Curtis, just read the headline.
4-0 UCLA tonight. What's the real headline?
Sounds like Washington gets its Big Ten dominance started early.
That's the only good thing about UW winning is that they get
to
stick it to UCLA.
No.
Who's going to leave? What's funny about UCLA leaving, I covered their game a couple weeks ago. Nobody shows up to that game. No one shows up to UCLA games. UCLA is just like, hey, USC, you leaving? Can I come too? Can I come with you?
UCLA leaving was when a team wants a highly prized recruit, so they also recruit their friend.
Yes.
That was UCLA was like, oh, we're both going because UCLA is like USC's best friend. They
like
really
that.
Wanted USC.
Kind of like Tua and his boy.
They would,
in the documentary.
They just wanted that guy, and it's like, well, I mean, I guess you got to take his friend too.
Yeah, but all honesty, UW looks like a very good football team. Michael Penix Jr. is one of the best quarterbacks in the nation statistically right now. They're getting that pass game going. You know UW does a great job putting out defensive backs. They look good. This is going to be UCLA's first test. They've had a cupcake schedule so far, so we'll see how they handle
it. Will
UW.
It be a big test for Washington? Not their first. I mean, Michigan State wasn't going to be easy.
It's a test. You go on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not at home anymore. These kids have played like 3 games without even being in school, so now they get to kind of mess with their schedules a little bit. So it will be a test, but it's more of a test for the Bruins.
All right. Well, you want to do a quick preview. Who's Washington playing, by the way? Cal? Or Washington State?
Cal.
Yep. And they're at home?
Yep.
Man.
You think about some donuts? You still owe me donuts, man.
I still owe both of you donuts. That's why I didn't bring them. Well, first of all, Taylor, thank you, Tay. Tay brought us donuts today since we're out at T-Mobile. And I still owe the two of you donuts for unwisely thinking I could double down on that bet where I said, oh, 5 runs minimum. They did it one time, and I felt like... I felt like I was 8 feet tall. That was the coolest I've ever felt
in my
life.
What happens when, like, you're at a casino and you get lucky on
you
a
win
few
big
hands
once.
And it's like, oh man, I got this. I got
all
this.
All of a sudden, you're taking off your watch. Let's go. Not worried about it. Double up, triple up, take all this. And of course, I bet that the Mariners would get 4 runs against who was it?
It was
Kansas
City.
Kansas City. I bet they'd get 4 runs against Kansas City in game 1. They did not. And so already I was out a dozen donuts.
I want the expensive ones.
What?
Too.
No, you don't get
the expensive ones.
This is ridiculous. All right, guys, a couple things here. We're going to have Dylan Moore join us at 12:45. So you're about 25 minutes away from Dylan Moore. Later in the show, coming up in 40 minutes. So at 1 o'clock. We're going to take your calls. So I want you to think about your answer. Think about what you want to say. If you do want to say, we're going to talk about what this weekend, what this day, what this moment means to you as a Mariners fan. I'm not trying to be like too hard on the sentimentality about it, but I'm seeing so many texts come in when we talk about this that I want to give you guys a mic instead of just have you text in on your phone, right? So we want you to be able to call in. The number, save it in your phone, don't call now, but the number is 866-979-3776. Again, 866-979-3776. What's this moment, this weekend, this game, this moment mean to you as a Mariners fan? So we're going to take your calls at 1. Again, do not call now. You're going to be on hold for a very long time, and you're going to have to listen to Robert and Dylan through your phone. I guess you could if you wanted. I really would encourage you not to do that. You want to hear these two back-to-back interviews. They're going to be really fun. So why don't you wait until we're done talking to these two guys, and then you can call in for that. By the way, Bump, are you ready to...
Ready!
For Lions,
I already know.
Lions
Let's go.
Today? Curtis, are you ready for Lions, Lions, Lions?
Born ready. Born ready.
Good. I mean, I've worked really hard. I'm still working on the quiz right
now.
Yeah,
you said that last week. We'll see.
Well, okay. Last week's quiz was not that bad. There were some very easy misunderstandings.
Says the guy who lost.
Exactly. That's exactly why Bump doesn't like the quiz. All right. Robert Turman joins us next for a look around the NFL. Dylan Moore joins us afterwards for a preview of tonight's game and talking about how this club feels right now. Don't go anywhere. This is Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports Station. All right, Robert Turbin going to join us in just a couple minutes to preview week 4 of the NFL. And there are a couple big games coming up here, Bump. You've got Monday Night Football, which is kind of the furthest out, is going to be between the Rams and 49ers. Going to see which one of these teams we both think, and certainly listeners would think, are going to win the NFC West. I think the 49ers are better than their record. Your record is who you are.
That's who
guys.
You is.
I don't think so. I think that these teams are going to prove people wrong. The 49ers are going to have a big weekend. I think the Raiders are going to beat the Broncos. I think that some of these teams that are struggling to make their production show up in the win column are going to be able to get it done this weekend. Looking ahead, any team, any matchup you're especially excited for here?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to the Bucks and the Chiefs. The Bucks lost to who they lose to? Green Bay. But I think Robert is ready. Am I right?
Robert is ready, and let's figure out how Robert feels about some of these matchups.
I'm gonna get you, Bump, man. You know what? I got the bullseye on you right now.
I like being the good guy here in this case. Robert Turbin joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. We're gonna start with the Seahawks Turbo, but we gotta get your opinion on some other stuff happening in the NFL while we got you here. But Seattle going on to Detroit to face the Lions, and you know, a couple years ago I would say, oh man, this should be a winnable game, but the Lions are pretty solid this year. How do you see this matchup?
Yeah, the Lions are playing some good football right now. You gotta love the fight that this football team has, and you know, I've been saying it all season long that, you know, the Lions may not be the most talented on paper, but it's like when they're on the calendar, you see them on the schedule, they make you want to watch football because they embody what the definition of football means, right? Just the grit and toughness and just playing the way that you're supposed to play the game. So this will be a tough challenge, you know, for the Seahawks. They're going on the road, and, you know, historically going on the road hasn't always been great, you know, for Seattle. And we got a young team, so they have to learn how to prepare to go on the road and play games on the road, especially on the East Coast, and that's a learning process that not very many people, even in the media, talk about, right? Everything is on the field focused, but there's a process that goes to this game, and there's a learning curve that you have to develop during that process. But there are some advantages. They're going to be without Amon-Ra, St. Brown, their star receiver, and it sounds like DeAndre Swift is going to be out as well, their number one running back, and our defense is already playing really, really well this season. So that gives us an advantage. And so it's going to be a tight one, but I see us pulling it out in the fourth quarter.
Turbo, Swift isn't going to be in the game, but Jamal Williams is a back who can get it done. You know, this Detroit Lions team averages 170 yards on the ground. What is it about their run game that allows them to be so successful?
It's discipline. It's discipline. These guys don't second guess what they're seeing in the backfield, and this offensive line gets off the football and they're moving guys up front. They're opening holes for DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, and they're making it easy for them to be able to identify where the creases are, and they're hitting the holes, man. I mean, you know, they're not getting hit a lot of times, 5-6 yards down the field, until 5-6 yards down the field. And so when everybody's on the same page like that, it bodes for a good running game.
Are you surprised we haven't seen more touches for Rashad Penny?
Well, you know, for Rashad, you know, I'd like to see him get somewhere at least 15 carries. You know, I've been saying that all season long. 18, I think, is a sweet spot, and I think you max it out at 21. But, you know, a lot of it is game situation and you know, trying to get some other guys involved, and it's tough when it's only one football out there, and it's tough if you're playing from behind. And we've been in that situation, unfortunately, against the 49ers. And, you know, we saw a little bit more, you know, run game action against the Falcons. But still, they were able to get a lead and win it there towards the end. And so, you know, sometimes you have to abandon the run game. But I think for this offense to be efficient and to be the type of explosive offense it wants to be, it's going to have to start and finish with the run game.
Hey, Turbo, the Hawks have turned it around as far as third down efficiency. What is the difference? Why do you think they've been so successful on third down? Last year, they're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, you know, last year we talked a lot about identifying what this team likes to do on third down. Like, what are the go-to plays that you know is going to spring Tyler open, you know, or DK or the run plays that you know for sure are going to work. And I think last year they hadn't really identified that throughout the season. And I think this year they have, you know, they've gotten to know each other amongst that offense. Coach Shane Waldron now and gotten used to DK and Tyler, and these relationships have continued to develop, you know, over the course of the last couple of seasons. And you're starting to see the progress of that in the stat category, particularly on third down.
Hey, Turbo, we aren't going to be asking you Mariners questions here, but Bump and I earlier were talking about the Mariners and the weight of this night and also quite a bit of pressure on this club to end this drought. And we started talking about the mindset, like how do you play when you've got pressure, when you've got outside influences, and what's that like? During your career as a football player, is there a moment or a season or a stretch of time when you felt like you just had a lot on your mind, or there was a lot of external pressure and external factors? And what was that like for you?
Yeah, you know, Coach Sherman Smith, my running backs coach, when I was there in Seattle, he used to say, you know, pressure is only for those who are unprepared. And if I'm a Mariners player, if I'm a coach, they prepare for this moment. You know, I don't know a whole lot about the Mariners, obviously, but I got a chance to go down on the field a couple games ago against the Rangers and watch batting practice. And I got an opportunity to meet a couple players and chat with them. And, you know, they're prepared as any team in the league. And all they got to do is kind of focus on, you know, what their role is, what their assignment is, and then execute. You know, all the outside stuff is for the outside. You know, that's why they call it outside noise, right? Because it's outside, you know. But as long as you keep your doors closed, you know, you don't necessarily have to allow that stuff in, and you can focus on whatever it is you need to do to get it done.
Turbo, we saw this offense, the Seahawks offense last week, get back to what we saw kind of that first week, right? Everyone got involved. Obviously, you mentioned getting Rashad Penny more touches, but do you think that's the formula for this team? What we saw last week, the variety, the tight ends, receivers, running backs getting the ball. What did you think of that offense? Is that who they need to be?
100%. They have to be multiple. They have to be multiple in their alignments and formations, motions. We saw a pretty decent number of that stuff against the Falcons last week. And that's what's going to help this offense be efficient and be able to, you know, drive down the field and get scores. And we saw that against the Falcons. And then, you know, for our quarterback, Geno Smith, from his standpoint, you know, we see him being able to spread the football around. And there's so many playmakers on this offense. You talk about the tight end position, right, the three-headed monster that we have there. And, you know, DK and obviously Tyler Lockett leading the wide receiver crew. But there's some other guys at the wide receiver spot who can make some plays as well. And it showed in that Falcons game. How about Penny Hart, you know, coming up with a big catch and some of those other guys. And there's even some guys that you know, like Eskridge, who hasn't even, you know, been able to – we know he's got a lot of potential, and he hasn't even been able to really, you know, get his shine yet. But his day is coming, right? It's just a developmental process that you have to go through as a young player. And for some players, it takes a little bit longer. And that's just the reality of professional sports and all sports, right? But being able to get the ball in multiple people's hands is what's going to allow this offense to continue to be successful.
All right, looking outside of Seattle for this one, but everyone yesterday talking about Tua in that game. Thankfully, he is okay, left the hospital and flew back with the team. But should they have let him play?
Well, this is an ugly this situation is ugly like Buck, but
no, Curtis, you gotta cut it. Curtis, you gotta we gotta save it.
You
wait,
boy, don't trip. I got 6 hours with you on Sunday, bro.
It was the delivery for me. It was the delivery. No laughs, just yeah, no, this situation is
mad at you, Turbo.
It's serious.
In all seriousness, though, this is a setback for the NFL. And anybody who watched that game on Sunday when Tua first got injured, and you know, and you saw him stumble, you saw him fall. You know, a 10-year-old knows that something's not right. You know, I'm watching the game with my kids, and mm-hmm. you know, my daughter's like, "Man, you know, he looks really dizzy, Dad." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, that's called a concussion." And she's 11, you know, and so if she can tell something is wrong, I'm not sure what went into the evaluation process to really get him back onto the field and then allow him to play, you know, 4 days later. So this is a really ugly situation for the NFL. This is, you know, I really can see this escalating a lot, probably as it should, because, you know, the number one thing right now is about, you know, the health and protection of the players, especially as it pertains to head injuries. And we talk about, you know, head injuries being head, neck, or spine, right? And so to even, you know, come up with a lie, essentially, to say that it was his back, even if it was his back, the spine is a part of the back, et cetera, he shouldn't have been out there. So this is a setback for the league, and there's going to be some pretty – at least there should be, from my vantage point, there should be some heavy consequences for the Miami Dolphins moving forward.
Yeah, well said. Also, an amazing joke. Already my favorite part of the show, your initial response there. He is Robert Turbin, joins us every single Friday. Normally, he's at noon. A weird day today with a couple Mariners stuff, so thanks for being flexible, Turbo, and joining us at 12:30. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, Nitro, I'm Turbo. All
Bye,
love, baby.
Turbo.
It's all love, baby.
It's Football Friday, powered by the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook. But we're going baseball again. Dylan Moore joining us next. Don't go anywhere.
This is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
First and third, the 1-2 on the way to JP. Swinging a light shot off the glove of Young at third. Here comes Moore from third. He scores. The Mariners win it. The magic number is down to one.
He was that winning run last night. It's Dylan Moore joining us right now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Dylan, how'd you feel in that moment?
I felt really good. Felt really, really good to be able to score that run, get the heck out of there after that long game and with the Mariners win.
Dylan, you are a part of some history out here in Seattle, man. What's it like? I mean, does it feel important to you guys? You guys talk about it, or are you kind of waiting for the moment to become a real reality before you kind of embrace it and let it sink in?
I mean, yeah, we talk about it. We also feel it. You know, I mean, we feel it from the mood in the stadium every night, and we, you know, the fans and everything that everyone's talking about. So we can feel the energy around us. But like you said, we're also, you know, one game at a time. We're trying to focus on the things that we can control, and it comes down to, you know, very minute things and one pitch at a time, things like that.
You mean just like when people, you know, get really, really excited? I mean, what's, you literally mean like when you're out there, you're like, you can, when you're in the middle of this every day for a season, start feeling the vibe and energy of a crowd?
Right. I mean,
from when I first started here in 2019 to till now, there's a change in vibe during the game. People are more into it from pitch to pitch. People understand what's going on. People understand the magnitude of what we're doing. And these fans have been waiting for this for a long time. And so they know that we're right on the cusp of it. And we can feel that energy. And we feed off of that. And, you know, we play for them.
Dylan, you're a versatile player, man. We've seen you in a few positions. What is it like having that be your role? You know, how do you prepare for that? Do you just kind of wait and see where the skipper wants you? What's preparation like?
It's difficult, but I've been trying to embrace it these past few years, and I've gotten pretty good at it. We have amazing coaches who played all over the diamond, infield and outfield, and so I take what I can from them. Just wherever I'm playing that night, I'm working on that position, and I'm also ready for other things, and just kind of having an open mind, and you know, it's kind of fun not knowing where you're going to be every single day, and just kind of showing up and getting your work in where you need it.
Now you've made some amazing plays, whether it was a great catch in left field the other day, or when you're at second or even at short. I mean, you've been so great for this team defensively. So I know that as a professional athlete, you might be saying, no, never. But my question is, has there ever been a moment when you made a great defensive play and thought, I can't believe I just did that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's plays where, you kind of catch yourself by surprise, but I think that's the limit of what an athlete does in itself. Like I try to go as hard as I can. And, you know, basically what I'm trying to do is make outs. And so if I never take a chance and never take a chance on that ball, then like I should be able to get, or maybe I don't think I can get, I'll never know my limit. And so there's definitely a couple of times where you go after a ball and you go, wow, I really can do that. And it gives you more confidence to go after the next ball.
Yeah.
Baseball is a long season, man. You guys are near the end of it. What's it like on your body? I mean, you guys travel a lot. You're in planes. You're out of town. At this part of the season, how's the body feeling, and what do you do to stay physically and mentally sharp?
Yeah, that's a different game in and of itself, especially when we're the team that travels the most miles during the season. So each guy has to kind of learn how to adjust and learn what is good for your body, what's not good for your body. You know, nutrition takes a huge part of it. Sleep takes a huge part of it. And you kind of got to learn how to prepare yourself to be the best each day and to sustain that ability throughout the season. And so each guy has to learn that for himself. I've been learning, and I'll continue to learn my entire career. Different things have helped me. So for each guy, it's definitely a long season, like you said, everyone's a professional, and we take it seriously.
Yeah. Speaking of being a professional, Dylan, one thing you've been taking very seriously, team celebrations. One part of playing both an infield role and outfield is you have to know both dances and both celebrations. That's tough. That's a lot to take on. Where did both of those come from?
The outfield one, I believe, was Winker's idea. I think we started with the little shuffle there. And then the infield one, we never really did until we traded for Santana. Carlos came over and he wanted to get us together and do like a little dance in the middle with the pitcher and the catcher. I thought that was really cool. So that's where both of those came from.
Really cool to see the whole team when you guys do it. A lot of coordination, but very, very cool.
Right. Yeah, everyone's got it down. Maybe we have to fill in the relievers a little bit, but it's not super difficult, Dan.
Hey, Dylan, one of my goals was to play long enough to have my kids experience, and I fell a little short of that. But you have a family. Your kids seem like they're old enough to realize, like, Dad's a ball player, man. Do they even step back and recognize that, or you're just good old Dad? Go get me some milk.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter, who's five now, she understands kind of what's going on, and she asks me every night if we win or we lost. And, you know, she's upset when we lose. So that's pretty cool. The little one just loves coming here. You know, baseball is like the number one word that he uses every day. And so it's really cool for me to like kind of have these foundational childhood moments for them. It's really cool. I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if everything goes right, and by all accounts and by all expectations, it will. You're going to get a really, really cool moment coming up here soon, celebrating with your teammates. Again, knock on wood, there's a lot of superstition in baseball, but something tells me this team is on to very special things, and you've been a big part of it. So, Dylan, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck tonight. Have fun.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, this hour of Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up next, we want your calls. It's time to give you a mic. You guys have been texting in, telling us how you feel, what this moment means to you as a Mariners fan. But now we want to hear from you, and you're going to get a chance to sound off. So call in right now, 866-979-3776. Your question, what's this moment mean to you as a Mariners fan? What does it mean to you? I had a hard time articulating it. I want to see how you feel. I want to see how you're feeling about it. I know how Bump's feeling. I know how Curtis is feeling. How are you guys feeling? 866-979-3776. That's next.